Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you guys are having a nice little Thursday. It's Rob and Sook, your sports bros here on The Fan.
We got double football on. We got Bills, Dolphins in this vicious cockfight. Texas State, Arizona State.
Let's go.
Kind of like what Texas State's got going on here with the unis.
Nice little upstart program.
Yeah. 7-7 right now.
Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk to Brett McMurphy of Action Network about the Pac-2 expanding to be the Pac-6 and soon to be the Pac-9, not to be confused with the Pac-12.
That is right out. Will we ever see another conference that actually has the correct number of teams in their name?
I don't think so. I don't think that. I think that ship has sailed.
At least the SEC is just the SEC.
Yeah, when will we get one of these conferences like the Big Ten or the Big 12 to actually change the name to just something that doesn't involve the number?
Well, I mean, they did mention, because the Big 12 is thinking about selling the name where it will no longer be the Big 12. It'll be...
Oh, I just assumed it would be like the Dr. Pepper Big 12.
Yeah. In the press release from the Pac-12, they did mention that there could be some branding opportunities. This could be the Pac-12 brought to you by Comcast Xfinity real quick.
We've got tonight in the club, the great Bon Jovi to the rescue.
What?
And we will talk about dream scrolling. Mm. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victoricos.com.
Number 5.
Number 5.
The attorney representing the plaintiff in a civil lawsuit accusing Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery has said now that the woman will speak with the NFL within the next 2 weeks. Now, he said, that's Tony Busby, he said that they have a video and two additional witnesses for the NFL to speak with. He says he's never personally had confidence in the NFL's disciplinary process, but she has chosen to engage with it.
Remember, not criminal. This is civil, like the other ones. But you know Cleveland's looking at this thing because they're just trying to find a way out of this. And this could get real ugly if there's, whether this thing has teeth or not, if Cleveland feels that there's a way that they can try to weasel out of the remainder of that $230 million guaranteed deal.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, this is a new lawsuit.
Yes.
I think 23 of the other 24 lawsuits, and yes, he has 24 lawsuits.
Yes.
I think 23 of them have been settled.
They got settled, and they're saying that this one is not going to be wrapped up even with NFL discipline. Remember, you already served the suspension. This is something different.
Number 4.
And this is not a masseuse. This is apparently someone he went on a date with, who he then got naked and tried to have her massage.
Yeah, at her place. But who hasn't done that?
Jeez, 29 times or whatever.
Got a little college football tomorrow. A couple decent little ball games. As a matter of fact, we have a top 25 game tomorrow. Arizona, ranked 20th, will be at Kansas State. The Wildcats ranked, well, football game.
Yeah.
Kansas State ranked 14th.
Now, is that a conference game or just happen to be conference opponents they scheduled as non-con?
No, that should be a conference
game.
I'm guessing it's a conference game, yeah.
They're both Big 12 teams.
Never thought about it.
Yeah.
That way, UNLV and Kansas will play as well. That'll be tomorrow on ESPN. Right now, we've got Arizona State and Texas State going at it. First quarter, they are tied 7-7.
Turns out Texas State, by the way, 2-point favorites in this game, according to Ryan Beckwith.
Well, they're pretty good.
Yeah, Texas State's a little upstart program. You know, in Arizona State, Dillingham took over a bit of a mess there. Thanks, Bruno.
Number 3.
I'm trying to look at who their coach is. Oh, Spavital's their coach.
Texas State?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. But he's not.
G.J. Kinney?
Couldn't tell.
Used to be a quarterback for Northwestern, right?
I don't know. DJ Kinney? Who cares?
You got me. I'm not familiar with Texas State's quarterbacks or old Northwestern quarterbacks.
Well, he would be their coach, not their quarterback. Astros came back and beat the A's today, 6-3. Their lead now 4 in the AOS as the Mariners get set to host the Rangers tonight. Now, Texas is tossing top prospect Kumar Rocker for his Major League debut.
If you don't remember, he's the guy that the Mets drafted and then couldn't come to a deal, so he went back to Vandy, and then he got hurt.
No, he went to the minors. He didn't go back to Vandy. He went to the minors.
Oh, he went to the minors.
Yeah, and
the Mets never signed him.
So he was drafted 10th by the Mets, and he failed a physical, and so they did not sign him. He played lower-level ball. Texas drafted him number 3 the very next season, but then he went under the knife because he had Tommy John surgery.
Now here he is.
And he's finally back. He turns 25 in November. And I guess he's been lighting it up in the minors. Also, fun fact about Kumar Rocker, he is the first player of Indian descent ever in Major League Baseball.
Well, that's cool. It was fun to see prospects like that get rolled.
I remember him in the College World Series throwing like 104 miles an hour.
It was a big deal when the Mets picked him. Everyone was like, hey, the next great pitcher. And then
good player.
Couldn't get anything done.
Bills Dolphins in Miami, Monday Night Football. Who do you trust less, Josh Allen or Tua Tagovailoa?
I fully trust Josh Allen. 6-0, by the way, on Monday night. I trust Tua, just not against good teams. Remember, the Miami Dolphins last year, they beat one team with a 500 record or better. I just think the Dolphins are fool's gold. And everyone that said that, oh, who's Buffalo going to throw to? I think he completed passes to 10 receivers.
You think the wrong team's favored?
The wrong team's favored. Like, Dolphins by 2, I'll go ahead and gobble that up. I'll take
2.5.
I'll take Buffalo on the money line.
We've come too far together to stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, Yahoo Sports was the first to report this, but the Pac-2 has poached 4 schools from the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Joining Oregon State and Washington State, beginning in the 2026-27 season, will be Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, and Colorado State. They're now just 2 shy of the 8-team requirement to be recognized as an FBS conference. Scott Barnes, the athletic director at Oregon State today, saying that they want to get to 9 teams so they can play an 8-game conference schedule. The Pac-12 will be paying the exit fees and other fees to the Mountain West, which totals upwards of $100 million.
Hey-o, but they got all that money. I mean, they do have a big war chest of cash. And it sounds like, obviously, they were waiting on the Big 12 and the ACC thing, and nothing was materializing there. And you kind of got to strike while the iron's hot, because if you give the Mountain West 2 years' notice, it's an $18 million fee plus the poaching fee, which, by the way, never have a scheduled alliance with anyone. It just means that the other side's going to screw you over. But if you waited until it was a one-year notice, it was a $36 million fee. So you kind of got pushed into a corner, and that's why they said this came together very quickly, and this was the best option that was left for him.
We'll talk more about that coming up next with Brett McMurphy of the Action Network. Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. It's Isaac and Suk on the Fan. All right, the Pac-2, Oregon State, Washington State have added San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State. Here to talk about what's next is Brett McMurphy, Action Network. Mr. McMurphy, thank you for your time. How are you?
Good evening, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. So what do you think happens now? Like, it sounds like they want to get to 9 total. Who do you think rounds out this this new Pac-12?
Well, they definitely have to get to 8 because that's the minimum to be an FBS conference. So they actually don't know. I mean, if they did, they would have already offered those invitations. So I think the fact that they stopped at 6 is kind of telling that the 6 members now, we go from 2-pack to 6-pack, will determine who those new members are going to be. I think, the candidates are obvious. UNLV, Air Force, Mountain West. You could look at Memphis and Tulane out of the American, potentially dip into Texas and try to grab like a UTSA or a Texas State. Those could be possibilities. The challenge for the Pac-12 is that whoever they get, like any of the schools I mentioned or any other schools out there that they could get, and Cal and Stanford would not be available, obviously, They're not going to bring a great deal of value to their media rights deal going forward. They're all basically going to be about the same. They're not. There's not like one school out there that really would bring a great deal of value. And so basically, I think they've got to decide, and it's not a easy choice. It's a personal preference for them. What do they want? Do they want somebody that's the best football program currently? Do they want historically the best football program? Do they want? Are they more with how engaged are the fans, the fan base, the brand name? I'd mention academics, but we know they don't care about academics. So that's basically what they've got to figure out. But the fact they stopped at six members means that they don't have a consensus who the next two will be. But certainly they've got to get those in place for the 2026 season to be an FBS conference and be eligible for the college football playoff.
Well, I would assume that anyone in the Mountain West would accept the invite. The Mountain West TV deal is like $4 million a year per school. It's about to get a lot worse. But the American conference, they got $9 million a year. I've seen the Pac-12 somewhere probably in that $10 million range. Is even if they got to like 11 or 12, do you think that's enough for someone like Tulane to want to go be in the West Coast? Is the brand name enough to actually pull teams from down south or out east for probably not more money or much more money, if any at all?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I can't tell you the answer to that because we don't know what Tulane is thinking. You know, I think Tulane would prefer at the end of the day to be in the ACC, but is that ever going to happen? That's dependent on Florida State and Clemson and maybe some other schools leaving. So certainly that would be a better fit geography-wise. We don't know if they're happy with the way things are in the American or they're fed up with it. The Pac-12 does carry a brand value. You know, whether that's how much that's worth exactly, that's debatable, I guess. They are no longer a power conference, so they're not going to be treated like they were two or three years ago. They're now part of the group of six. They're not a power league. Obviously, their conference champ will be eligible to make the CFP, just like every other conference champ out there. And so that's something Tulane's got to figure out. I wouldn't be surprised if the American goes after Air Force. Mm. I mean, if you have the American, athletic conference and three of your teams are Army, Navy, and Air Force, that's a pretty good deal. Now, we could talk about how good those teams may or may not be, but certainly from a brand, if you have all three military teams in your conference, that would be a huge get for the American. So, we'll say, what if Tulane doesn't want Air Force in the American? Maybe that's a reason to go to the Mountain West. I don't know. We don't know those answers. I know that Florida State and Clemson voted against adding Cal, Stanford, and SMU. So, there have been, similar examples in other leagues, but that's what we got to find out. The money is going to be very similar, like you said. I think the Pac-12 would get a little bit more money, but certainly if the American could pull Air Force, then that would, I think that may level the playing field as far as the TV money. But the good news for the Pac-12 is their next step as far as the media rights negotiations, kind of like the Big 12 jumped the Pac-12. We saw what happened with the Pac-12. So maybe they can benefit from that and get a deal with ESPN and or Fox and don't have to worry about being on the CW like the teams currently do in the Mountain West.
This is Brett McMurphy of Action Network. So what do you think will happen with the ACC and when?
When is, I don't know. And what is, I don't know. Because we don't know I could sit here and tell you this is going to happen. I have no idea. I can tell you what will happen based on what the judges decide. I don't know what the judges are going to decide. If the judges give Florida State and Clemson an opportunity to get out of the conference, they will get out of the conference. If it costs a lot and lots of money to get out of the conference, then nobody else is going to leave the conference. So what does that mean? That means Clemson and Florida State are going to have to find a home. I reported a couple weeks ago, the Big Ten and SEC have no interest in either school if they are the only two that get out. But if a judge rules the grant of rights is invalid, it's not enforceable, whatever it is, and it's like a conga line out the front door of the ACC offices, then you're going to see the Big Ten and the SEC go after North Carolina and Virginia. You're going to see Clemson and Florida State end up in one of those two conferences. You're going to see Miami land somewhere. You're going to see Virginia Tech end up somewhere. You know, Pitt and Louisville perhaps go to the Big 12. And then the Big 10 would have 20, 22 members. The SEC would have 20. The Big 12 would have 20. And the ACC would basically be Boston College, Syracuse, Wake Forest, and whoever's left in the American. So that's the two scenarios. But, again, I have no idea what's going to happen because we've got four lawsuits ongoing right now. And we've got to see, you know, the end result of all that. And then once we do, then I think you'll have a better idea of what exactly is going to happen.
I think that surprises so many people, and I did see that you reported that. Can you tell us, why is it? Because I think there was this belief that if Clemson and Florida State got out, that there'd be some sort of, you know, bidding war. But you reported that both the Big Ten and the SEC are saying no thanks. Why is there not interest for what seemingly a lot of layman fans would say are the two marquee brands?
Well, the SEC reason is easy. They've already got teams in the state of Florida and South Carolina. So by adding Florida State and Clemson, you're adding two solid brands, two teams that historically are decent in football. But you already own those states. You're not going to bring in additional SEC viewers because you add Florida State and Clemson. So the amount of your media rights increases slightly, but now you got two more mouths to feed. So the amount of money per team would actually reduce. The Big Ten, they just jumped up to, you know, 18. They're still trying to figure out how they're going to do 18 schools. And also, you know, Florida State has been very public in their efforts to get out of the ACC. Part of that's because of the Sunshine State rules in the state of Florida that all these meetings have to be public. So a lot of their laundry has been out there for everybody to see. However, it's turned a lot of presidents off in the Big Ten. They're like, we think they would be a disruptive partner. If they're doing this to the ACC, how do we know they don't do that to us? Also, neither school is an AAU member, the academic standing, that every Big Ten school is currently, with the exception of Nebraska. They were an AAU member when they joined the school. They have since lost that designation. And so, you know, academics actually does matter somewhat in the Big Ten. And again, keep in mind, these are presidents that are making these decisions. These are not message board, you know, experts or keyboard warriors that are making this call, or coaches. And the presidents kind of look at things a little bit differently. And finally, the reason why neither conference wants to add anybody right now is they don't know what's going to happen with the House settlement. They don't know what's going to is there going to be revenue sharing or players, I'm not going to call them student athletes, are players going to be employees? We don't know all of these different factors, and that's like their number one priority now is figuring all this stuff out. We don't even know if there's going to be an NCAA. So, you know, the Big Ten's up to 18, the SEC's at 16. There's no urgency to add either one because there's no threat of that. If they wanted them, there's no threat that they can go anywhere else because both leagues don't want them. FSU's not spending millions of dollars to go to the Big 12, so that's not an option. So I don't know what they'll do. But again, if the door and everybody can get out, well, then the Big Ten and SEC would fight over their top targets in the ACC, and then you would see them grow. But unless that happens, neither one has the appetite to expand. And you're right, it surprised a lot of people, especially people in Tallahassee. I have a good friend who's in Tallahassee that does, you know, some media work. And he called me up as soon as my story popped. And I said, all right, let me hear it. What's your beef? And he goes, dude, he goes, I've been hearing this stuff for 3 months. Mm. I can't report it because I cover Florida State and it'd be viewed as negative towards Florida State. I don't think this is any surprise to Florida State people. I think it was a surprise to everybody kind of out there. Who everyone just kind of thought, based on, you know, the pulse of Twitter and the so-called Twitter experts, that Florida State's are locked to the Big Ten and they've already locked them in, they already have an invite and all that stuff. It was total garbage.
Is there? I was kind of spitballing thinking while you were talking about the ACC. If everybody, let's say that one crumbles, is there a chance that this Pac-12, however they round it out, becomes a Power Four league?
No, because here, this is how, I mean, that's a great question, but this is how it is. So the designation of a power league, if people don't realize this, is the college football playoff pays out millions and millions of dollars to the conferences. The power leagues, the four power leagues now, they get probably 3/4 of that revenue from the college football playoff. Obviously, conferences are rewarded. More teams you have, the further they go, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But there's just a flat rate. If you have no teams to go to the college football playoff, if you're a power league, you're going to get a minimum of this much million dollars. It dwarfs the group of five, group of six numbers. They probably don't get 10% of what the power leagues get. So in the scenario we laid out, if the ACC imploded and there's no ACC anymore, then you're down to three power leagues. So what are those three power leagues going to do? Are they going to say, hey, you know what? We feel bad for the Pac-12. Let's give them a full share and keep it to Power Four. No, it'll be the Power Three. And they'll get the bulk of the money, and everyone else will, you know, fight at the kids' tables for the leftovers. And ultimately, we'll probably have a Power Two with the Big Ten and the SEC, and everybody else will be second rate. The question is, once we get to that Power Two status, will those guys take their ball and go play on their own and basically just have a playoff with exclusively Big Ten and SEC schools? I don't think either league wants to do that. But that could be a last resort. And if that did happen, I think you would see both leagues would expand to at least 20. I mean, it would look like the NFL model. Yeah. AFC, NFC, one's on ESPN, one's on Fox, kind of like it is now. It's just everybody else is involved in the game right now. But we could get to that. But the original question, if the ACC somehow, you know, disappeared off the map, then they cut the pie in the three bigger pieces and smile as they sit on their Scrooge McDuck pile of money.
Yeah.
So basically the best case scenario here for the Pac-12 is, you know, you backfill it with three other teams, and then you and the American Athletic Conference become kind of the two slugging it out for one shot. The best team from those two conferences, the champion, ends up getting a place at the table, correct?
Yeah. And you could get somewhere down the road. Who's to say that, you know, the runner up can't finish in the top 11 in the country and get in a large bid? I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, it's going to be difficult, but if you can beef up your non-conference schedule enough and, you know, roll out an 11-1 season, certainly you could be in the conversation a lot more than you could be if you're a team from Conference USA, the Sun Belt, or the MAC.
What do you, I know you're with the Action Network now, so, Oregon, what is it, 16 and a half over Oregon State? What do you think's the right side this weekend when they meet?
Well, I was either dumb enough or smart enough to pick Oregon to win the national title. And, you know, right now Dan Lanning's not making me look very smart. But the good news is nobody's going to remember those two games when we get to December.
True.
You know, the question I have about Oregon is, can they figure out what's going on the offensive line? That's the biggest shock to me, because I talked to Dan, you know, Big Ten Media Days, and he was very, very psyched and very optimistic about the offensive line and the trenches, both offensively and defensively. But, you know, my gosh, you know, Genty ran all over him. If not for the punt return and the kick return, look, make no mistake, Boise should have won that game.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or doubts about it. But they didn't. So give Oregon credit, they won. I mean, I don't know. I know it's in Corvallis. I would hate to have. I mean, Oregon hasn't shown me they figured it out. So I would have to lean to take an Oregon State plus the points. I mean, think of how jacked up Oregon State and Washington State are this week.
Yeah.
To play the two teams that left them behind, and you can only imagine, you know, how psyched they are. Now, you know, the famous Mike Tyson quote: "Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face." So once they get hit in the face, how they respond. But I mean, my gosh, think if Washington State and Oregon State won on Saturday, oh my God, what a 48 hour or 72 hour for the Pac-12. They would, they would celebrate that one for a long, long time.
Very true. Action Network, Brett McMurphy. Hey, thanks for the time. Appreciate the info.
Thank you.
What a gong show this is.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is kind of nuts to think about it. And we're not anywhere done. So we gotta figure out the Pac-12 backfill.
Yeah.
And then the Mountain West has to figure out because they got gutted.
Yeah.
So they're talking about maybe elevating it if they want to, the Montana states, the North Dakota states of the world. I don't even know if they want to do that, but the schools. And then, you know, what happens with the American Athletic Conference? Yeah. Does the Pac-12 try to poach from there? And can they? Because the money's going to be about the same. And then the ACC lawsuit thing. Is it just the two that get out? Is it the entire conference?
That's the big thing.
You know.
Because to me, like, at this point, past the last three of the Pac-12, it's kind of all the same.
Yeah.
You know, you're the Mountain West, Pac-12.
It's all.
AAC, right. Sun Belt. Just have a good season and hope you get into the playoff, right? Yes. You're not Power Four.
No.
But boy, I tell you, it sounds like the entire college football world should be rooting for the ACC to go tease up. Because if it does, that changes everything.
Yeah.
And all these conferences look different.
Yeah. Question. And he brought it up. If they say that the grant of rights isn't enforceable and there's a cheap deal to be made, the whole thing crumbles. If it's a couple $100 million, no one may leave. Or at the worst, it would be just Clemson and Florida State. And wouldn't that be hilarious if those jackasses tried to buy their way out and no one wanted them? I would laugh my
ass off. Like, what would they do? They'd be like the new Pac-2.
I would laugh. Well, honestly, even after all that lawsuit, they may have to stick around because they don't have another choice. Or take pittance money from another conference. Or, God forbid, what if they had to lower themselves to the Big 12?
Yeah, good stuff.
I love when people get big britches and then just get kneecapped. It's hilarious.
All right. One other thought on this. Oh, and we never talk about basketball.
No. No.
Gonzaga to the Pac-12?
It would only, I mean.
Basketball?
Yeah, we can. There's a whole thing.
Why not?
The Big 12 was flirting.
I know they were.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Gonzaga would rather be in the Big 12, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd like to stay west.
Yeah.
So anyway, a couple of other thoughts and we'll wrap up the discussion coming up next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So the poll question today on X, we asked you, where should the Pac-12 turn next? After adding the four Mountain West schools. Right now, 39% of you say UNLV and Air Force. 29% say Memphis and Tulane. 20% say North Dakota State and Wyoming. And then 12% say the Texas schools, North Texas and Texas San Antonio.
I'm not certain that you can get the American Athletic Conference teams.
Is that Memphis and Tulane?
That's Memphis and Tulane and North Texas and Texas San Antonio. I'm intrigued because I get that the Pac-12 has some cachet because of the name branding, but look, this isn't the Pac-12. It's not. It's a group of six team now. It's group of five now, soon to be group of six. So the American Athletic Conference pays out. They just got their TV deal done, $9 million. I mean, it'll come down to what the Pac-12 gets, but most people are putting this around $10 million. If it's $10 million, I mean, Texas, San Antonio, maybe, but we don't know what kind of exit fees. I'm assuming that the Pac-12 would pick up the bill on that like they did for the Mountain West teams. But if you're New Orleans, if you're Tulane down in New Orleans, is $1 million, is it worth playing out here in the West as opposed to where you're at, a little closer to home? Is the prestige, is it that much better? Is the path to the college football playoff harder? In the Pac-12, because I think it's the idea that it's a foregone conclusion because any Mountain West team you invite jumps in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because they just got gutted.
Yeah, the Mountain West was paying out.
So Wyoming, UNLV, Air Force,
any one of them
could be had.
Yes. So the Mountain West pays out about $3 to $4 million per school. And by the way, that number, their TV deal's up in a couple years. That number's about to get a lot worse. I mean, seriously, they're going to get like $1.5 million per school. So any one of them would jump at the chance. But when you're making $9 million, and the Pac-12 comes and offers 10, I'm not certain that's enough to get that out. So, you know, this may be time will tell, but maybe it just ends up being, you know, the UNLVs. And we had a guy on earlier from ESPN.
Kyle Bonagura.
Bonagura. And I thought he had a really interesting point, and that was kind of the half share thing. Remember, like with the Big Ten, Oregon and UW are getting partial shares for the entire time. Cal and Stanford, partial shares with the ACC. There's some leverage there. If you are the Pac-12, you could easily go to the UNLVs of the world and be like, hey, by the way, our new TV deal is going to be 10, 11, 12 million bucks. We're going to offer you a half share for the entire length of the deal, or a half share for 4 years, and then a 75% share. And you're going to take that, because if you don't, you're going to be in a Mountain West that's paying you $1 to $2 million a year. So you've got some leverage there to grab some of those Mountain West teams at partial shares, because that's the other thing to remember is, and this is what Brett McMurphy was talking about as far as like the SEC and the Big Ten, bringing in a team, especially a team like Memphis or Tulane or any of those teams that, you know, UNLV, whatever. That's not bringing a ton of valuation. No ESPN or whoever, or CW, isn't going to look at that and be like, oh, absolutely, go add those three schools and we're giving you an extra $40 million a year for those schools. So, like, like anytime you add a school, you have to split the pie another way, so that when you can split the pie with a sliver by bringing in four teams and paying them less than half of what you're paying the rest, all of a sudden you start to see maybe there is some maybe there's a reason why you just stopped at the four and yeah, didn't go for the others.
So here's an idea, and I'm just spitballing here. I know nothing, yeah, okay? But if you're saying, and Brett McMurphy said, that there's really no value after the four that they just took.
No, there's not. It's all the same.
Then why not? See, I like the idea of UNLV just because I like getting into the Vegas market.
Sure.
But if you need two more, why? What about, especially because, like you said, you can get them in at way cheaper rate. By the way, Tua just threw another pick.
Yeah.
That's two. Two by Tua.
I see what you did there.
Why not go after the schools? Like, what is the problem with going at, or what am I trying to say? Okay. There are two schools that I'm thinking of, mm-hmm, that are real small.
Yeah.
But they have really passionate fan bases. They have they're huge deals in their communities.
I know where you're going.
And they're very, first of all, they would jump at the chance to be in the Pac-12. And I think they're good programs. Like, they win.
Yep.
And I think over time, much like we saw when Boise State made the jump, or then Utah went to the Pac-12 and they made the jump, when you take a step up, over time your talent level increases.
Yep.
I just like the idea of Montana.
Oh, I'd love it.
And North Dakota State.
Yep, I knew that's where you were going.
Because they're so passionate about their programs, yep, I feel like you're buying low. You're grabbing that to me is more interesting than playing games there is more interesting
than New Mexico.
Yes, or even an Air Force,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
So what is the problem with that?
First off, I love that line of thinking. I think grabbing Montana, if you got UNLV, Montana, and North Dakota State,
that'd be kind of a fun little upstart
league. I think
it'd
be fun. Look, because at this point, all you're doing is putting together a fun league to give yourself a crack at maybe being the best group of five team, right? And the dollars and cents, it's all going to end up shaking out the same. There's really no valuation to be had. I absolutely love that idea of doing it. The only question I would have is, I would think that the money would be enough to bring them up, but would they want to? I mean, those are huge, huge deals in their community, and they win national titles and they compete for national titles.
Yeah.
Would they be happier being because right now they have thin budgets and it's fine. They succeed. They win national titles. Would they rather be the big fish in the little pond as opposed to trying to come up? I think you should at least make that call. I would love it.
Don't you think? Well, one thing we've already read is that UNLV is kind of tied to Nevada.
Yeah, some people are saying that.
Which could be a problem. Montana, I would imagine, would be very tied to Montana State.
Oh, yeah, that could be problematic.
That would be a tough thing.
Yeah, North Dakota and North Dakota State. I don't know.
But I don't know. I mean, I think they'll...
And McMurphy brought it up, too. The problem when we do this is because, as he said, it's university presence making these decisions. And, God, who knows what the hell university presence are thinking? Or, like you said, this school's tied to that school. And it's like, hey, you're not leaving without me. I mean, we saw that with UCLA and Cal. In fact, I think UCLA still has to write them a check every year for a significant amount of funds. And that was over, you know, huge, huge money. I'm not certain that one of those other schools, if they are tied to the other state schools, would be willing to break away. But I love the idea of it. I think it would be so much fun to give those teams a crack and just kind of have your own little identity. Because if you're going to be stuck being the little brother, and that's, you know, the Pac-12 is going to be the little brother. You're never going to be one of the power conferences. I kind of like the idea of being the weird kid out west. Just do things differently.
I just like the passion of those programs.
Yeah.
And when they get money, when they get more money, they'll dump it back into the program.
Yeah.
Like they're just, it matters to them. Yeah. And I think that's a huge part of what I would want in any program jumping to the Pac-12, and that's a knock against UNLV, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't.
No, it's a...
Other than them being in Vegas...
It's historically one of the worst programs in college
They don't
football.
Dump a lot of money into that thing, do they? And there's terrible. Not a passionate fan base. There's not a great... it's not a great home field
They've
or anything.
Never been good.
I just like the idea of Oregon State going and playing at Montana.
Well, it's kind of the same thing with Boise, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
I would rather have a fan base that's small and is poor but cares than... being in a big city, and you know, no offense, but San Diego State's like that. Okay, you're in San Diego. No one goes to those games. You're telling me go to a Montana or a North Dakota State game and a San Diego State game and tell me which one of those is a better environment.
Yeah.
But then you get into, you know, school size and enrollment and all that, and who knows what the presidents think.
What about Alabama and Georgia? Think they'd make the jump?
Well, there's someone literally on the Vancouver Four text line that said, is the buyout too large to bring back former Pac-12 teams? Oh my God. If Oregon came back, they would have an easy route to an automatic bid. Please.
Oh dear.
Please just.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, to be nice about it, they're making so much more money in the Big Ten. There's no chance they come back to the Pac-12.
Utah's not coming back.
I mean, no chance.
No.
That's why they left. They cashed out or cashed in, I guess. Yeah. Okay. We got a break and we'll wrap it up. Next on The Fan. Did you see that Coach Prime got ball sacked today?
What happened to Coach Prime?
Oh, no.
What did he do?
Well, he got ball sacked.
Yeah, but, like, how did he get sacked?
Well, there's
by the way, we've all been ball sacked before. It happens.
Do you believe?
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, just ask Steed Cream Roper.
Yeah. That's my favorite sacking that we've had happen.
Apparently, he does believe, Dion. He believes a man named Wilson F. Ball, college football analyst.
Okay.
Who tweeted...
Like Wilson football?
Yes. He tweeted, breaking, per sources close to Utah football, the laceration on the hand of Utes quarterback Cam Rising has grown infected and is showing signs of tetanus. He's expected to be out for up to 6 to 8 weeks. Utah Athletics is preparing a medical redshirt waiver for an 8th season just in case.
Is this the same guy that reported that Ollie Gordon had chlamydia?
Yeah, I don't know. But as first I've heard of this guy. But the real story about Cam Rising is that he may not play this week, but he is expected to be back next week.
Yeah,
he's fine.
He's got a bum hand.
Coach Prime's tweet, praying for Utah football Cam Rising, and he has the praying hands. God bless you, your family and team. You're an awesome, resilient young man. Hashtag Coach Prime.
I love that he hashtags himself on there.
Hashtag IROP.
Boy, he is fast.
Not hashtag rise up for rising or something, but no. Hashtag Coach Prime.
Yeah.
He is a fascinating individual. Do you think he tags, like, I don't think, even in text messages, do you think he tags things?
Who?
Coach Prime. Like, I think if he sent you a text message, he would hashtag it. I think at this point, it's just what he does. Like, he's like, hey, be home for dinner soon. Hashtag Coach Prime. just like built into every sort of communication. Like he writes a note to someone at the bottom, hashtag.
Can't you have, I think on the iPhone you can set it. Can't you set a signature?
Yeah, the signature.
He never had an iPhone, but John Buckley definitely had an auto signature on his Samsung Galaxy, whatever, because you would like send him a text and be like, hey, Dad, are you going to be, you know, will you be home in 10 minutes? And it would say, yeah, John Buckley. It would just say John Buckley after every single text.
Is he sending a lot of texts to people who don't know where the text is coming from? No.
Well, so it was when he was still working and he was like the CEO of a company and he was sending messages to people who sometimes didn't have his number. But
yeah, my... that's adorable. My dad will, whether it's a voicemail or a text message, he will introduce himself. Like in a text message, hey, it's Dad. No, I got it.
I know. My phone says Dad right next to your name.
I'm with you. Or he calls me up. Hey, Dad here. Yeah, I got that one. So he doesn't sign it, but he will not send a message without identifying himself at the beginning. And that I always smile at that one.
Well, Wilson F. Ball, in case you're wondering, is not real. Or, I mean, it's real, but it's a fake. Yes. It's real, but it's fake.
Kent Rising does not have tetanus.
No.
No.
Or maybe he does.
Yeah, he's got a bum hand.
Maybe
although
he does.
Could you, if he got hurt right now and had played in one game, would they dare give him another year of eligibility?
They'd probably try, wouldn't they, if he wanted to.
Well, who is
he's not going to the NFL, is he?
I don't think he's an NFL guy. I mean, he may get a shot at a camp, but...
He's the new Cam McCormick.
Well, yeah, McCormick down at Miami, right? With his ninth year or whatever. He's working on 17 different degrees.
I want to say he caught a touchdown last week.
Did he?
Yeah. They did a feature on him on game day.
Yeah, like the
start.
He was pretty
good, you know.
It is kind of amazing that he's just out there. Although, you know, it's not to the same length, but, you know, Pharaoh Brown is in the NFL, and he almost lost his leg. They were going to amputate that sucker.
Where's he playing?
He was with the Seahawks, but...
I think he's in New England. He's bounced around. I know he's on an opening day roster. I think it's New England, but I'm not 100% certain on that.
He is currently a tight end for the Seahawks.
Yeah. You know, and that's so, you know, if you're Cam McCormick and you're like, hey, Pharaoh Brown almost lost his leg and that guy's playing in the NFL, I'm guessing Cam McCormick feels like he's like, yeah, I just need an opportunity.
Just need a shot.
Just give me a shot.
Keep me healthy, Doc.
How about this Vancouver Ford text line? I dated a girl that was extremely full of herself. She called herself the Portland Princess.
Yeah, boy.
Everything from embroidered pillows to her license plate said that.
What?
Her text ended with Portland Princess.
What?
Now, the question becomes to this gentleman texting in, how hot? Because
if you're
dating someone...
I kind of don't care.
If you're dating with someone that's that, you know, much of a pain in the ass and you stuck around, either...
Something's really good or...
Yeah, she's either super hot or maybe you're just, you know, you're just happy that you've got a girl that's willing to touch you. I don't know, but I'm intrigued. Is the Portland Princess actually hot?
As you could probably find her, hashtag her on the IG. You'll probably find her on there.
Portland Princess.
All right, we got to run. The club is next. We've got, I tell you, guys.
You okay over there?
Jon Bon Jovi is just a fantastic human being.
He is.
Something happened today.
Oh, I saw this.
Did you see this?
I did.
This is the low-key best thing that happened all day. And it's not even close.
I'm intrigued.
And it involves Jon Bon Jovi. So we'll kick off the club with that. Next on The Fan.